Today, we'd like to see the title of a shepherd in Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why shall I not want? Question 2, in verse 5, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. What divine character can we see? What divine character can we see? Last question 3, in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How will I dwell in the house of the Lord forever? How will I dwell in the house of the Lord forever? A little background. This is a Psalm of David. Before a king, David had an experience for a shepherd. We can see the first Samuel chapter 16. Verse 11. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, Jesse is David's father, the Lord has not chosen these seven sons. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, David, the eighth youngest son, and there he is keeping the sheep. So we know here David had a shepherd experience. Shepherd means a person to keep sheep. So keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. David comes here. Shepherd, the Hebrew word roeh, Greek word poimen, so that means shepherd or pastor. We translated it into shepherd or pastors. So Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 1, were two shepherds whose sister here, shepherds in plural. The great pastor, the true pastor, the God, and God gave a delegation to the people, so they call them shepherds or pastors. New King James Version translate into shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, said the Lord. But King James Version translated into Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 1, pastors, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, New Testament pastors also, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here pastors and teachers as well. So chapter 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. So question 1, my shepherds, that is allegory, symbolic. Because a shepherd, a person to keep sheep, so my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. So I is symbolized with the sheep. So because the Lord is shepherd, so this is shepherd and sheep relationship. Likewise, God has a relationship with the children of God, in relationship with me, like with sheep. So the Lord is my shepherd. So John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So here, great shepherd. What's the 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 3 and 4? Neither is being lords over God's inheritance, but being example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, so chief shepherd indicating the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So we can see. So I shall not want. The first question, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why shall I not lack? Because the Lord is my shepherd. So that the Lord is almighty, you know, whatever he can protect us. And that's why I shall not lack. Also, verses 2 and 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So sheep's food is a pastures. So here, pastures indicate not only physical food, also spiritual food. Here, he leads me beside the still waters, quiet waters. The sheep is drinking. So how about, you know, to children of God? John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. So living water concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was not dead on the cross yet. Also, Jesus did not resurrect yet. So then, you know, Jesus was glorified. He's not glorified yet. So here, drinker means Holy Spirit, concerning the Holy Spirit. So he leads me beside those two waters, or drinking waters, the Christians, you know, the waters, the symbol of Holy Spirit. He is restores my soul. So Holy Spirit, you know, comfort, restore, refreshing my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So in Jesus' way, you know, his righteousness, in the paths of right, for his name's sake, not in my name's sake, his name's sake. First of all, yet, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes we face death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. The Lord is with me. Also, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod is the guidance and a stick for a sheep. So staff, you know, that is a certain sheep, you know, fall down or the far away. That moment, the shepherd throw away, you know, the staff, you know, to attack, you know, that sheep who strayed away from main way. So then, in order to stop, you know, that straying sheep, not more to go, you know, somewhere, you know, that kind of function. But the, you know, rod and staff, the purpose, you know, guiding share in the right way, also some chastening, you know, the sheep who might fall into, you know, danger, you know, like that, you know, that kind of thing. The value of the shadow of death faces circumstances at the risk of life, such as earthquake, terror, a plane accident, and serious illness. So we do not fear evil. Why? Because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So the bottom line we need in facing God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. So presence of God must believe, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Is reward his response, here's the answer of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to you? So basically, we need facing God. The Lord is my help. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14-15. In as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So because of Jesus Christ released the people who fear death. Why? Because we have lived in the Lord Jesus Christ and shall have a lasting life, you know, not, you know, die. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. This is, you know, Paul's the last word. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Here again, kept the faith. That's why Paul did not fear of death or evil. Finally, there is laid out for me the crown of the righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all we have loved his appearing. So before the Paul to be executed on Roman courts, he made the last read, you know, I have fought the good fight, I finished the race. So like looking for, you know, into eternal kingdom. Book of Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60, Stephen's death situation. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So at the face of death, Stephen and Paul was really courageous rather than fear. So we can see it. So basically, this is verse 4 indicating the requirement of facing God. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies is opponent, you know, against me. But in presence of my enemies, a lot of, you know, the opposing circumstances, but the God prepares a table. God anointed my head with oil. Oil, you know, always a symbol of Holy Spirit. Oil. The mic runs over. So Holy Spirit, you know, overflows. The Holy Spirit is agape love. Love is the overflows. So here, verse 5, we can see, you know, God's grace. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. We 12 and 13. So right here, not here. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 and 13 are basically Samuel poured in oil, you know, with David, you know, as the king of Israel. So oil is the symbol over the Holy Spirit. So anointed, you know, the David's head, you know, with oil. That is one example. You know, the oil is the symbol of Holy Spirit. Then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So your days numbered and finished, all days of my life, you know, God's goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here, how dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Here, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, on Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, the place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So now Jesus already prepared these many mansions. So when, you know, we died physically, so expression of our physical life, so our soul and spirit, you know, immediately into the mansion which Jesus prepared. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 through 8, for we know that if our earthly house, this physical body, tent is destroyed, because of the body, you know, will go to dust. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. So mention, you know, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan, earnest, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. So we immediately go into the mansion. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are all in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed or to be naked, but further clothed into mansion, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee Spirit. Verse 6, so we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we work by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body, the physical body, than to be present with the Lord. So our spirit and soul be absent from this physical body, you know, immediately present with the Lord, you know, in the mansion indicated by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 7. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of body I do not know. Because the disciple Paul, you know, like at the risk of death kind of thing, that time his spirit and soul, you know, out of body, in the body, you know, he doesn't know. He didn't know, but God knows. Such a one was caught up, you know, to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. How he was caught up into the paradise, you know, probably mentioned. But we are not clearly here, paradise mentioned, but heard in inexpressible words. So inexpressible. So we cannot describe, you know, that with human words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmity. So basically I will tell you my infirmity. not, you know, both impermanent. So basically, he want to tell it's impermanent, you know, simpleness, weakness. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. But if I boast, you know, death happened, so I might be a fool, because I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So to avoid misunderstanding, you know, to avoid the hearers, audience misunderstanding. And last, I should be exalted above measure by abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. So to say Paul, you know, had a thorn in the flesh, they're probably, you know, eye problem. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So, but the next verse talk about the God's grace is sufficient in my weakness. Weakness indicating thorn over in the flesh. So basically, Paul's, you know, illness, and I illness. Compared to rapture, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 54. This is a rapture case, is the individual new body, you know, made by heaven, you know, basically when, you know, Jesus coming, you know, again into heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. So already the death, physical death, in, you know, believers, Christians, will be raised incorruptible. The moment incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, but this mortal body must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, who are alive and remain, so physical alive Christians, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So this is Jesus' second coming in heaven, you know, basically talking about that. So we are not sure, you know, exactly, because the Bible doesn't say, you know, clearly the mansion and the personal new body made, you know, by heaven. So not clear, you know, but to say it, this is as God says, you know, in this Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16, bottom line, we need a faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever lives in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. So bottom line is the faith, you know, in God, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, the children of God, you know, will dwell in the absolute forever. So each question can I see, you know, answer. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why shall I not lack? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord to keep me. You know, that's why. That is one. Also, the number 2, the Lord make me lying down in green pastures. So, feed me and give us still waters, you know, the Holy Spirit, then restores my soul. Also, the Lord, you know, leads me in the paths of righteousness, you know, for his name's sake, not my name's sake. That's why, so I shall not lack or I shall not want. Question 2 in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, a lot of opposing situation, you anoint my head with oil. With oil is the Holy Spirit. What divine care can you see? You know, God's grace. You know, God's grace. Grace in giving, in abundant, you know, freely in giving, regardless of my merit. The last question in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy for my physical life shall follow me all the days of my life, or for my physical life in all days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How will I dwell in the house of the Lord forever? How is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That ends John chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, now let's just sing a song together, Amazing Grace.